mind one thought at a time.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Empowering Women series. How are you doing tonight, Akina?
I am doing great. I am super excited about tonight's topic. You know, I'm always ready, willing, and able to learn something new, and I'm super excited.
Awesome. Well, tonight is a topic I think we're both going to be learning a little bit more about. You know, I'm really excited about tonight's topic. Number one, it's just such an important time of year to really think about nourishing ourselves and really nourishing our bodies. And I've had a few people in my, really my close family and my friends who, in the last just few weeks, have felt the effects of stress, felt the effects of really not taking care of themselves. And I think a lot of times, especially if you're on the East Coast of the U.S., like we are, where it's cold, you know, you don't really think about taking care of yourself. And maybe you're busy, maybe you're an entrepreneur, you've set big goals, you're starting new businesses. You're not thinking about taking care of yourself and your bodies. And, you know, the Lunar New Year, we just had the Lunar New Year this week. And it's really such a great time to think about really taking care of ourselves. So we have someone very special on the call tonight, someone who's really near and dear to my heart. This is someone who I practice yoga with. I've actually gone to her yoga practice, and I felt very deeply connected to her in a very spiritual way. And I thought her classes were just different than any of the other yoga classes I've taken. And when I took her class, I said, listen, I said, you know, I would love for you to come on my podcast because I just feel like you have really this ability to teach women and to teach everyone really how to really take care of themselves spiritually and how to take care of themselves on a mind level, on a body level. And I think she really gets why it's important for women to be connected and to be nourished in really all possible ways. So the person we have on tonight, she is a dedicated instructor of yoga and a disciple of Kripalu Yoga. She is the owner of North Jersey Yoga, which is really a space where she's dedicated to helping people improve health and wellness. She empowers all of her students to discover wisdom of their own bodies, mind, and spirits. As she says, one breath at a time. We love that because we talk about changing minds online one thought at a time. And it's just really no wonder that I enjoy her practice so much. And I know we're going to learn a lot from her tonight about how and why yoga can really have a huge impact on our lives. You know, I'm a student of yoga. I do yoga almost every day. I absolutely love the benefits I receive. And tonight it's really a privilege to welcome Mary Walker to the show, who's going to talk a little bit more about why it is so beneficial for especially women. Mary, welcome to the call, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Jess, and thanks, Akina, for having me. I'm more than excited to be on the show tonight and share with you all my experience with yoga and some of my practice and the breathing, the body, the mind. They're all part of the tools we have as yogis. Yogis or yoginis, meaning someone who's on the path, on the practice of yoga. And I think really just to introduce a question that I had when I first started my practice and my journey of yoga, which is, you know, what is this? What is this all about? And what does yoga mean? In a general sense of the term, if we were to define it, yoga means union or connection. And that union can exist in so many forms, but really it begins with the union of self, the coming home to the self, which is really a call to find your awareness, find your balance, and find ultimately your connection to self so that you have a great place, a home base to therefore or then after reach out to others and connect on all the outward energies that we have that we place into our relationships, our friends and family, our careers, and our lives outside of self. And I think that coming home, for my experience through yoga, has been so rich already, and there's so much more nourishment that I'm always receiving through my practice. And really wasn't something that I was too aware of, you know, earlier on in my life. I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of whole lot of self-care practice that I was personally, you know, putting into a priority status in my life before yoga. And I've been teaching now since 2011, so about 5 years, and practicing, doing it for about 10. And every time, you know, I had some of the same kind of feelings you were describing before about getting when you come to them, when you come to practice, of like just being nourished and enriched by a connection to my teacher, to my teachers, to my practice. And I just felt like something very rich existed there. And that's kind of what drew me in little by little, eventually taking me to the place where I decided, you know, this is something that I've now dedicated my life and my career to sharing this practice of self-care with others. Before yoga, I spent a good deal of energy people-pleasing, partying, and in relationships that were focused on, you know, an outward energy, fixing someone or something. And those kind of behaviors were not really serving me very well in a sense of self. I spent a lot of my energy in those activities was being spent outside of me. So really, it was like, let's go from thing to thing. What's next? If I had a moment alone, maybe there was nothing planned for that few minutes, which was few and far between, it would be like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. I need to find something else to do right now because I wasn't comfortable being in that place myself. It wasn't a comfortable seat for me to take. And when we think of yoga and talk about yoga asana, which is the physical practice of yoga, which is what most people are doing when they go to yoga class, asana means to take a comfortable seat, a comfortable, steady seat, so that you can be just sitting comfortably, breathing, and then moving through other poses or postures comfortably, being able to sustain. That's really the meat, the heart of the yoga practice, and possibly why it seems a little bit different than other practices, because we're not forcing, we're not just pushing so very hard into this energy of a goal or of a perfection. Instead, yoga brings us to whatever it is that we're experiencing personally and finding that comfort there and that space there to kind of relax into who we are. And so that's what yoga really taught me. And now I prioritize myself with daily self-care rituals, including yoga asana, the physical practice, pranayama, which we'll be doing a little bit of tonight. That's the breathing practice, coming back to your own breath and deepening that breath, kind of finding some space and calm and relaxation through the breathing techniques has taught me a lot. That's probably the most valuable thing that I like to practice as well as teach in yoga, even though the asana is very fun and we can get in a lot of different, you know, shapes and poses as the body begins to unfold and open. There's also meditation that I do to take care of myself and some self-massage, which you talked about earlier this time of year, you know, the Lunar New Year. We just came upon this new beginning and this time of year for us. You're right, here in the East Coast, at least up in New Jersey, is very chilly. This week is kind of having a cold front moving in, it feels like. And we can take care of ourselves by balancing. That's one of the words we're going to kind of discover tonight as a yoga practice, finding balance. So literally the opposite of it being cold is to let's get hot, warm it up, find something that nourishes you in a warm way. So I like to do my self-massage right after a hot shower, put on some, you know, some oils that I like to rub on, wrap myself up in a big robe, crank the heat up, even though I get in trouble sometimes from the boyfriend, but you know, you got to do what you got to do to get warm, to balance yourself, and to in yoga and Ayurveda, actually, which is a sister study of yoga. I just want to give the credit for the word. It's called Ojas. Ojas is kind of our reserve tank, our energy reserve. And so to find, when we find balance, we're building up our ojas, we're building up that reserve tank of energy so that we're not running around on empty like that former, you know, that person I was talking about who was just running from activity to activity and still happens, you know, to this day. It's you know, sometimes I'll take a moment and say, oh my gosh, I didn't really eat enough yet today, or I need a minute to sit and breathe. You know, just having this ability to be aware of where we're at, awareness, I think, is the first step of yoga. It's one of the very first ways to get in touch and to be practicing yoga. And this doesn't take very much effort at all. In fact, you just need to be able to take a comfortable seat. We're not going to go into any pretzels or crazy poses today or any standing yoga postures that is typically thought of yoga. But we're going to practice a yoga technique, if you ladies would like to join and the listeners would like to join, in just a guided breathing technique. What do you say?
That's wonderful. I mean, I would love for us to do that. And, you know, Mary, before we get started on that, you know, I just want to share a little bit about my experience. So I started yoga, and I really didn't know much about the spiritual benefits of it. And I had really no idea that there was, like, this meditation type of aspect of it. And I just wanted to start to do it because I'm an athlete, and I am a runner. I do ultra marathons and marathons. And so someone had told me, hey, you know, you should go to yoga because it's going to help you recover. So I started doing yoga, and I felt really good. I felt really great. I loved it. I found I was recovering faster. And then I kept going because I am one of those kind of competitive athlete, challenging myself people. So I did kind of want to get into all those cool poses. And I've learned to do firefly. I've learned to do crow. And I can actually do crow on a Bosu ball now, which I'm super excited about. That was one of my goals, which I know you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, Jess, you're nuts, you're not getting the point, and probably you're going to put me in a child's pose and have me do pranayama the next time we practice together for the whole class.
Not at all. You know why? Because that's your practice, and to be enjoying your body, and to be enjoying the moment, to enjoy your breath, that's another kind of foundation, another depth and point of yoga, is to be loving your own expression, loving where you're at. And when your body like gets in those poses and you feel it, like, woohoo, that rush, that's it.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's another, you know, part of yoga too. And that I would say, you know, speaking to an audience of beginners, intermediate level, maybe advanced practitioners, I'm not sure exactly who's with us tonight, but once your practice becomes a habit and the habit becomes nourishing and you feel the benefits you're getting from your practice, it evolves just like anything that you practice regularly. It's an evolution. And so that evolution will show up in many forms, and it might be, wow, I feel much more peaceful. I feel less stressed. I feel more physical strength. I feel more empowered. I feel more flexible. I feel healthier. I feel recovered from an injury. I feel like I'm flying when I do that crow on the ball. I just feel so excited, like so happy. These are all, you know, different forms of the benefits of yoga. And it's going to depend on what your intention is when you come to the practice and when you decide to continue and make this practice a habit rather than, you know, maybe just a once in a while thing when it becomes a regular part of your life and because something valuable to you, then you can really find anything that's benefiting you personally and call it yoga. I say to my students, some people have physical limitations. I say, if you sit here and breathe for the next hour and you're content with that, that's yoga. If you can sit and lay in the child's
awesome.
Pose and relax there the rest of the class, that's yoga. If you are, you know, doing the postures with me and you're feeling good, that's yoga. The only place where we are not practicing yoga, I would say, is when we're feeling pain and discomfort or tension. So one of my teachers told me that anything we do in yoga can either be a medicine or poison. So, you know, just to speak to a little bit about the other side of things, is when we are practicing something, and let's say we'll talk about a physical pose, and I really want to get this pose, and I start feeling pain. My lower back is killing me. Doesn't feel good, but I really want to get it, so I'm really going to do it, right? And my back goes out. And now I'm light up in the you know, emergency room or whatever, you know, might happen, that you're now in discomfort from that practice that might have been forced a little bit. It's become detrimental because I think the point might have been missed, and maybe not all teachers of yoga or of any exercise for that matter, or of anything for that matter, are, you know, stressing enough the point of the personal discovery. I like to say, be a scientist of your own experiment. You know, come to your own interpretation of what's going on in your life, what's going on in your body, and that's your homecoming. That's you coming back to the self. That's you nourishing yourself. And it's not taking advice from someone else on how this should feel, how this should be. It's the empowerment of coming home, and I can be here. So maybe that same example, that person who went too far and hurt themselves, maybe the next time you can come to the practice and say, hey, my body's giving me some signals that I'm not ready to go further just now, but maybe I can be here and be okay with that right where I'm at, with acceptance, with awareness, with balance, with connection and compassion. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've absorbed through my yoga practice and that I like to teach my students as well. So,
wow, yeah, I love that. And I am one of those people who, in the beginning, when I started doing yoga, I did miss the point, and I thought it was about trying to, you know, figure out how to do the crazy yoga positions on the ball. And I actually did wind up getting hurt. I wound up hurting my shoulder. And I had a spell. I missed yoga for a few weeks having done that. But, you know, I am back into action, and I am ready to really look at yoga a little bit differently. So I know tonight what we're going to be doing is a pranayama type of breathing exercise, right? And I'm so excited about it. We've never done a guided meditation on this call, so this is going to be a first for us. I'm super excited about it. And just one last question before we get started with it. So I know I've heard you talk about it before, and I know in yoga there's a bunch of different types of breathing. I think there's like a 6-3-1 to breath, and I personally still get a little bit confused, and I know there's going to be some people listening who may not have had any experience with breathing with yoga. So can you just give us a little bit of just quick what we're going to do and what we can expect to just get out of it? Like right now, I mean, and while Mary's explaining this, guys, if you can, and if you're not listening to this while you're working out or while you're driving, like, I want you to just get somewhere comfortable, somewhere quiet, and maybe turn off the lights if that works for you and you can, and really just kind of relax for a few minutes, because we're going to really jump into this guided meditation in just a second, and I'm really excited about it. I want everyone to get as much out of it as they can.
Absolutely. That sounds great, and that's a great way to start off for sure. Safety first, and you know, the whole awareness part of yoga is just taking a moment to be aware. Are you doing something else right now that kind of inhibits you from taking this quiet time to find your comfortable seat and practice breathing with us? That's okay, you know. And if you have the space and the time and the safe environment to do so, please feel free to join us by getting comfortable. And I'm going to be leading a Dirgha breath tonight. Dirgha breath means three-part breath in yoga. And it's a yogic breathing technique just to connect us to a deeper awareness of the breath and even grow the breath a little bit more deeply into the body. This is, I would say, a foundational breathing technique of yoga. This one has so many benefits, including deepened sense of relaxation, can actually lower blood pressure and help to improve general health of the nervous system, of the respiratory system, and of the digestive systems as well. So this is really a nice way to calm down and quiet down, especially if wherever you're at least here, it's nearing the end of the day, evening time, so this is a perfect breathing technique for right before bed. But I'd like to just get into it by asking, even before we begin the technique, to just kind of come to your seat, let your eyes soften or close, and just ask yourself, what is the quality of my mind right now? Coming to the quality of your mind, kind of scanning the mind space. Is it moving very quickly, or does it seem to be still or slowing down? And just without any judgment, you're just kind of looking like a scientist, just getting notes and some research on yourself tonight. So the quality of your mind right now, just noticing where that's at. So we'll move on to ask about the quality of our body. And coming into this comfortable seat, just making sure that you are comfortable. How can you be more supported right now? Perhaps by leveling out the hips. You're in a chair, placing the feet right on the floor, about hip width apart. If a seat is not comfortable for you, you can always lie down on a mat or comfortable surface. Seated down on the ground is fine too. Just hips want to be nice and level, and the spine wants to be nice and tall, nice and long. So resting into the comfort of this position. As you draw your awareness to your natural breath now, see if you can pinpoint your inhale and your exhale. So just finding those two parts to the breath. And I'll invite you to place your right hand to rest on your belly if that's comfortable for you. And on your next inhale, we'll invite the breath to deepen down into the space. And exhale, letting the belly empty out nice and slow. On your inhale, inflating the belly, feel the right hand kind of open out into the room. And then exhale, deflating the belly, feeling the belly closer toward the spine. Feel free. Continue with this breath, moving nice and slow. Letting the belly draw as large as it would like to, creating more space, grounded breath down into the belly, and emptying out from the belly. Doing this for a few more rounds. On your next inhale, allowing the belly space to fill, and then drawing breath up into the chest area. You can slide your left hand up to your heart. And on the exhale, let the chest empty, the belly empty. Inhale, inflating the belly, the right hand. And let the breath rise into the chest, the left hand. And exhale, slow and steady. Chest empties, belly empties, continuing to breathe. So we're building on this part to the breath now. As the belly inflates, the breath rises up through the chest and rib cage. And then on a soft exhale, a gentle contraction, feeling the ribs come closer to your center, the belly squeezing gently toward the spine. making more space to fill your next breath. Belly inflates, chest inflates, and emptying out the chest and the belly. Doing this for a few more rounds at your own pace, just moving nice and slow, nice and steady into your two-part breath. Let the shoulders be soft, the neck be soft. And gently floating your left index finger and thumb up to your collarbones. The lightest touch, sliding that left hand up a little bit, fingers resting on the collarbone. And we'll build this breath into its third and final part. So on your next inhale, inflating the belly, drawing breath down into the belly like a balloon, it inflates, rising the breath up through the chest, and lifting breath all the way up into the collarbone. And then exhale, softening the collarbones, emptying the chest, emptying the belly. Making space, another inhale, belly inflates, right hand inflates, chest inflates, left fingertips all the way up into the throat, face inflates, and exhale, softening, melting the breath down and out. Continue to move for a few more rounds at your own pace. Inhale, inflating from the bottom up, belly, chest, and collarbones, like a glass of water being filled. And the exhale, deflating breath from the top down. Collarbones, chest, and belly, just like a glass of water being emptied. Nice and slow, nice and steady. Let any concern about doing it right or perfectly just melt away. Be present in your own body. A few more rounds of deep Dirgha breath. And after your next exhale, releasing your hands back to your lap, we'll return to a natural breath. Just coming back, your natural breath, releasing your Dirgha, your three-part breath. I'll ask for us to come back to that scanning that we did before the practice. So just scanning to notice the effects of your breath awareness exercise, of your Dirgha breath. How has the quality of your mind changed? Remained the same? Just noticing any difference in the quality of the mind? Taking that same awareness, and we'll focus in the body, just kind of doing a scan from head to toe, noticing how the body feels. Maybe there's a release, feeling of relaxation. Maybe there's some tension that still lies, but you're more aware of where it is exactly in the body. Maybe you feel relief somewhere that is usually tight or tense. Just scanning, just noticing. And we'll just take a deep breath in together. And exhale, let it go. Nice job, everyone. That was Dirgha breath. So I'm giving you around the clock. Thanks for joining me.
That was awesome.
How are you feeling?
That was so awesome. Yeah, I love that. I feel like I missed my yoga class today, and I feel like I didn't miss it at all now. That was amazing. Akina, what did you think of that?
Oh, my goodness. I thought that was awesome. I was so relaxed. I am so relaxed. Not was. I am so relaxed. Thank you so much.
Great. Yeah, that is
very welcome.
I am actually, I'm meeting, and it's a little late in where I am. It's already 8:30 p.m., and I'm meeting a friend for dinner, and I'm ready to call her and say, well, I just did yoga. I feel like I'm ready to turn the day down for the day. But Mary, that call this went so fast, so we're right at 8:30, and I learned so much today about yoga. Thank you so much. Really learned about the spiritual aspect and about how it's not only just that this physical class at the gym that, you know, we can take and it can be fun, but it really is a really important spiritual practice that we can have a lot of benefits from. So thank you for shedding some light on that for us.
Absolutely. You're so welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. And namaste. I honor the light in you. That's the same as the light in me. It's our yoga greeting and farewell. So I wish you all namaste. Have a great night.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we always end our calls in a very particular way, but I think namaste is a perfect way to end our call tonight. Akina, before you give your namaste, is there anything that you want to kind of add, or in maybe you can let our audience know where they can get a replay of this call if they'd like to?
Well, oh, yes, Justin, most definitely. If something that Mary said resonated with you, please find this podcast at changeyourmindsonline.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and, of course, our YouTube channel. Thank you so much, Mary. It was a pleasure, and I need to use those techniques every day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Akina.
Well,
thank you,
you can, right? We have this recording, so I encourage everybody to actually, we're going to post this on, we're going to put this on a YouTube video. It'll be everywhere on iTunes, on our website. I think Akina just let you know where we're going to have it. So you can definitely listen to it every day and do this meditation every day. I would encourage that for sure. So,
absolutely.
Well,
for sure.
Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Namaste.